There's Act Two in this great theodrama. The fall. The fall. Now, I say we begin with grace. We begin with being. We begin with creation. But if we forget Act Two, the story is not effectively told. If we forget Act Two, we have no real credibility. G.K. Chesterton said this, "We're all in the same boat, and we're all seasick." Isn't that good? We all know it. I've been just laying out this lyrical approach to creation, wonderful connection, love, nonviolence, generosity, science and faith intermingled. And you say, yeah, that's great, but where do you ever see that? I mean, we know from our sin that it's been compromised. You know, one of the marks of a bad story, the story that modernity often tells us, is that we're perfectible. We're not sinners. We can just make ourselves perfect through the mind or through the will. The Bible says no. The great tradition says no. Sin has compromised us. Sin has not destroyed, but it's compromised what God intends for us. Okay, what's sin? What is sin? It's a good Lenten meditation for us. Go back to Genesis. You got free rein in the garden. Eat of all the trees you want. Save one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. John Paul II's reading of this was very good, I thought. John Paul said, the one thing we can't do if we want to flourish according to God's will is we cannot appropriate to ourselves the criterion of good and evil. The one thing we can't do is appropriate to ourselves the prerogative of determining good and evil. Rather, we must receive that always from God. What's sin? Turning oneself into God. Appropriating the divine life rather than receiving it. Listen, Christians. What is the divine life? It is a gift. It exists in gift form. God is the one who gives. The Father gives to the Son gives back to the Father. The Spirit is the mutual giving of Father and Son. That's all God is gift giving. Therefore, do you want the divine life in you? Then you can't have it. You can't grab it. You can't appropriate it. But rather, you must always have it on the fly. Here's what I mean. As you receive it, remember adoratio, you're mouth to mouth with God, you're breathing in the divine life. But as you receive it, you give it. As it comes in, it goes out. And then, paradoxically, only then do you really have it. Only then does it truly grow in you. Remember that great story of the widow of Zarephath that's in the Elijah cycle? Elijah comes upon the widow and her son. He says, give me something to eat. During a time of drought, she says, we've got enough here for one last meal for me and my son. And Elijah says to her, make me a cake. That's right out of Mel Brooks, that. I just told you, I'm dying. We got one meal left for the two of us. Yeah, make me a cake. And of course, in the story, the wine, the oil and the flour do not run out. Oh, the Bible tells that story over and over and over again. You want the divine life in you? Give it away. And then you get more. And then give that away. And you get more. And it becomes, finally, a fountain bubbling up in you to eternal life. Look at the woman at the well coming every day to drink and to drink and to drink, to receive, to take. Jesus wants to give her living water. What's sin? It's the appropriation of the divine life. Taking it, having it, making it my own. The prodigal son, Father, give me my share of the inheritance coming to me. Me, give it to me, let me have it. Where's that younger son go? In the Greek of the New Testament, he goes into the kora makra. We tend to say to a distant country, but you know what that means literally? It means into the great emptiness. That's a great symbol of sin. Whenever I say to God, give me, it's mine, I appropriate, then I ipso facto wander into the great emptiness. Oh, if only you knew, says the Father, that everything I have is yours. Receive the divine life and give it away. You know, a very good example of sin, and again, I'm not picking on either our culture or on the Supreme Court, because we sinners all express our sin. But go back to 1992, the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court in the matter of Casey versus Planned Parenthood. It was an abortion-related case, but the finding went way beyond the abortion issue. Here's what the justice said. It belongs to the very nature of liberty to define the meaning of one's own existence, of the world, of the universe, and of life.
Huh, how about that? That's all.
That's what the Bible means by sin. I appropriate, I make my own, I decide what life means. You receive the divine life as a gift, and then you give it away. What happens because of this? Oh, read the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. You see beautifully laid out in symbolic detail exactly what happens when we appropriate the divine life. Hatred, violence, division, rivalry, jealousy, fratricide, homicide. All the forms of human dysfunction follow from this basic problem. That's Act 2 of the drama. Woe to us if we forget it. You know that great line from Blaise Pascal, the 17th century Catholic philosopher? He said, "The one who would make himself into an angel makes himself into a beast." Read the history of the 20th century under that rubric. Boy, did Pascal have it. The minute we think we're not sinners, the minute we think we don't have this problem, that's when we turn ourselves into beasts. Acknowledging Act 2 is very important.